broadcasting from the planet Earth. This is Apollo Almighty Extreme Comedy Presentation.
The Alt.Dot Comedy Lounge. Live comedy every Monday night at 9 at the Rivoli, 334 Queen Street, West Toronto. The Alt.Dot, where laughter is routine.
Please help me welcome to the stage the very talented Eddie Della Seppi.
Oh, Dave Maresh, everybody. Give it up for Dave, huh? Lebanese shoplifting pants. Fruit in there. How you guys doing?
Nice haircut.
Yeah. Look at that, huh? You guys doing all right? I learned something recently. I was thinking back about how I was on a blind date not that long ago, and I realized about the blind date, certain things you keep to yourself on a blind date, right? One date with this girl, went to a Mexican restaurant. Great. She orders a burrito, I order the enchilada, the waiter walks away. This girl, I don't even know her, she looks at me and goes, oh my God, this is a huge mistake. I go, why? Swear to God, she looks at me and goes, this is going to be my fourth burrito today. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that doesn't even happen in Mexico. Like, who's three burritos deep and goes, you know what, I might as well just top myself off. Let's just ruin tomorrow. Why would she tell me this information? I'm not going to roll with it. I'm like, oh my God, you have 2 pounds of black beans in you? I don't know about you, let's find a room with no windows and make out. Let's just fart the night away. My little bum trumpet. Brumpet. Welcome to the Rivoli, guys, where we don't waste any lights. Don't waste the lights. Hot. Should we cut a hole? No, let's just burn a hole.
Just burn.
I don't need this, guys. Seriously. This is what happens when you fuck the sound lady. Thanks, Marlon. I'm not good at, you know what I'm not good at? Approaching people. I'm not good at it for some reason. I don't know why I'm not good at it. Because this is the reason why. I grew up in the 80s, and I had a lot of bad role models growing up. Because you look at guys today, you look like Ryan Gosling today, or like George Clooney. They're cool guys in movies. In 80s movies, guys were not cool. Go on Netflix, watch a movie from the 80s. You'll see guys like playing volleyball in a movie. A hot girl passes by, they all stop, and one guy bites his fist. Did you see her, Rodney? Who the fuck does that today? Nobody. Imagine that lady saw a guy do that. He'd be like, oh my God, I think that guy likes me. And he has a learning disability. My Sharona, he's hot. Get out of my dreams. Get into my... This is where you feel old. I'd like to thank the Rivoli for giving me a stool. I appreciate that. From Little People Big World. I appreciate that stool. It's nice to know who has cable in the room. I do like a stool. You know why? Because stools are great for keeping it real. You know what I mean? You got that keep it real kind of stance. It's built in. You prop your leg up. You prop your elbow down. You look like a really cool guidance counselor. You wish it was your dad. You know what I'm saying? Just says cool shit like, yeah, I did drugs once. For 10 years. Welcome to grade 2. I got a buddy that, he's always trying new stuff all the time. And it's interesting, he did this recently. And you ever catch your friend say something they didn't know they said? This is what my buddy said to me. He goes, I was at this get-together last week. And we had samples of sausages and kielbasas from all over the world. It's like, buddy, are you aware? You went to an actual sausage party? Are you aware of that? Does that ever fucking happen? Were there girls there? And he goes, no, it was all dudes. A sausage party in a sausage party. It's like Inception, man. What level are we on? Are we in a sausage right now? I appreciate the guy giving me just one clap. I only do one per show and he got it. I don't want to do two, the lights might go out. I was raised by old people. I like you guys, I don't know if you guys are aware, I actually bought this denim jacket for this show, so it's raw, it's bleeding into my arms. It's interesting how they try to appeal to guys when it comes to clothing. I saw this in a Details magazine ad. It was a Dolce & Gabbana ad, and it was a guy wearing a white suit from head to toe, completely white suit. And I thought, that's not practical. But at the same time, I thought, you know what? It'd be amazing to have a white suit. You know why? Because if I did, I would change people's lives. I'd go to a really shitty bar, find the one guy about to keel over because he's so hammered. I'd just grab his shoulder and be like, hey, man, what are you running from? Why don't you go out there and find your son? The next day, he's going to wake up and be like, oh my God, a metrosexual angel talked to me last night. I don't have a son, but I got to go find him. Trying to be healthier, I did this. Went for a jog in my neighborhood. Fine. Decided to cut through a cemetery. Was a little tired, so I started reading the tombstones as walking by. It was interesting. All English names, like Johnson and Smith. Then a portion were Asian names. Went back to English names. It hit me. Oh my God. The cemetery has a Chinatown. That's amazing. I left there with a bubble tea, a bag of dried squids. Avatar 2, director's cut. It's a hard bootleg to find, guys. I have a father. Does anyone have a father?
Woo! Yeah!
Someone say, Dad! Is he here? My mom's Hispanic, my dad's Italian. My dad, old school kind of guy, believes in tough love. He had a catchphrase. Every dad's got one, whether you know it or not. My dad'd say the same thing every time to me when I was a kid. He'd be like, hey, if you don't like it, this house has two doors and a window. Get the fuck out. That's hard to say to a five-year-old, so God bless him. So I moved out of my folks' place, first apartment, bachelor apartment. Has anyone ever lived in a bachelor apartment before? Anybody? It's ideal. You can cry in all four corners. It's really nice. The landlord's like, you got a lot of water damage in the four corners here. It's been four separate pipes. People complain about the bachelor apartment. I think it's a great thing. You know why? You don't really lose anything in a bachelor apartment. It is in there, and you'll fucking find it. Misplaced my watch, found it right away. Wedge between my bed and my toilet. Bang! Brought a girl over. That's a tough thing to do, bring a girl over to your bachelor apartment. It's a tough sell. Brought her over, and I go, so this is it? She goes, give me the tour. I did this. Turn your shoulder, lady. This is it. Let's bang on the futon like adults. If you don't like it, I got one door and a window. Get the fuck out. You guys, a lot of fun. Thanks so much, everybody.
One more time for Eddie De La Seppi. Very funny. We're going to keep the show going. Please help me welcome to the stage a very funny Lori Elliott. Give her a round of applause. Yeah, I've been the funniest comic from off the edge. I know rhymes to go.
Hey, all right. I'm a little frazzled. Hi, hello. Great show so far, right?
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Okay, I'm going to get into it. I've just been running behind all day, so I ended up having to drive here, and I'm a very angry driver at times. When I'm riding my bike, I hate drivers, and when I'm driving my car, I hate everybody who's walking or on bicycles. And I especially hate it when I'm driving my car and a pedestrian makes me stop or slow down when it's my right of way.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Yes, right? So I decided if things don't work out for me in comedy, which is looking like it's the case, I'm going to invent a car horn that sounds like screeching brakes. Wouldn't that be awesome? Some jerk off just like, doo, 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 fuck the world, right? And then he just hears, and he's like, well, hi. Then he's got to run to Walmart to get a new pair of pants. It's Lori Wynn, yes. I've been reading a lot of internet news lately because that's where the truth lies. And I found an article about this guy and this woman. It was about the woman, basically. Her boyfriend dumped her, and to get back at him, while he was at work, she snuck into his apartment, took his pet fishes, fried them, and then ate them. How do you get so mad that you're pet eating mad, right? You're just like, I fucking hate him so much, I fucking hate him. Right? Feathers. And you're never going to get back together, right? Once you've eaten someone's pets, there's no showing up at his door, just, oh, little baby, baby, I miss you so bad. You gotta take me back. Look, I brought you a kitten. It's not gonna happen. And then I saw this other story, and this truly happened, and it was about a woman in Amsterdam, and during a thunder and lightning storm, while she was brushing her teeth, lightning hit the building just as she turned on her tap and took a sip of water. And she just as and the lightning went through the building just as she her lips to hit the tap, lightning shot through into her mouth, through her body, and out her asshole. She's like a Shazam. And she survived. She was okay, a little singed, but she was all right, you know. But all I kept thinking was, I wish that happened to me. That'd be awesome, right? You're just like a Shazam. So great. You can become a superhero instantly. That would be the best way to become a superhero. The Blue Angel is... Anyway, fight crime with my fire farts. But then I thought, I would like to have that as an excuse or something to say for... You know when you have your coworkers you have to go out for lunch with every once in a while and they're all just bitching and complaining about inane things? You know, like, oh, I broke a nail today and I lost $50 the other day and Todd dumped me and I ate his fish and now he's being a real dick about it. I'd just be like, yeah? Yeah, lightning shot out my asshole. When you lost $50 the other day, did your shit get cooked? Okay. I win. Okay. What else can I tell you about at this point in my life? Things are so crazy. I actually just came back. I flew back from Sudbury on Sunday.
Woo! Sudbury! Yeah!
Yeah! All right. I'm the coolest person here.
What's going on? All right.
Are you from Sudbury?
Yeah.
We know each other. We just randomly...
bumped into each other.
Yeah.
Everybody
I just realized we were in high school together.
You just realized
it? Yeah, I didn't even know. That's hilarious.
Wow. All right. And you all just met up in Sudbury? Or, I mean, in Toronto? You're just like...
Just now.
Converged
just
now?
Just now, as you said, is anyone from Sudbury?
It's a big reunion. That's awesome. Well, your security at your airport is quite strict. Did you know that?
No.
Apparently, the Sudbury Airport has won awards for having the best security. And I've got the asshole to prove it. But no, seriously, they were very secure, and that was great. But then it reminded me, I had to come back from Spokane, Washington, back in the summer. And this honestly happened at the airport where I had gone on a crazy wine tour, and we were all coming home, and I was probably still drunk and sweaty. And I went through security, and then this woman came up to me, a security woman came up to me with my backpack, and she was trollish. She was just, it's your bag, right? Like Batman, right? Just like Christian Bale stuffed into his outfit. And I was all, yes. And she goes, I need to look in there. And I was like, okay. So I went with her over to security. And then she puts my bag in a bin, and she starts going through it and taking stuff out. And at one point, she just looked at me, and she goes, don't touch anything. And I go, it's okay. I don't need to touch my stuff, right? I can just go ahead. So she keeps searching and searching. And then she ends up dumping my bag out, and a giant pair of scissors falls out. And I was all, ooh, scissors. And she just goes, I'm not looking for scissors. I'm looking for a knife. I said, well, you kind of got two right there. So, you know. And then she keeps looking through my stuff, and then she pulls out my internet stick, and she goes, oh, what's this? And I said, it's an internet stick. And I swear to you, she goes, what is that? And I said, it's for the internet. And then she didn't know what I was talking about. I just was like, and then she took all my stuff. She goes, I'm going to have to put it through again. So she put it all through again. And then she goes, she brought it back and she goes, okay, it must have been your internet thing. I thought it was a pocket knife. And then she just changed her demeanor immediately, and she just goes, can you just please repack your bag? I don't remember where everything was. So, okay. And she left me to repack my scissors and hop on the plane. So, Sudbury, you've got great success. Have a round of applause for Sudbury Airport. What is the point? Oh, it's so crazy. Anyways, okay. I've had some weird things happen lately. I actually, I got after a show in Hamilton a while back. I finished a show. We got the Hamilton connection here now? Woo! Are you kidding? God, I'm really connecting with the audience. This is great. These are my people. Well, okay, I was in Hamilton on a show. This guy comes up to me. The show went fine, right? It was fine. And then he comes up and we're chatting, and then I said, oh, I better get going. I got to drive back to Toronto. And he goes, oh, hold on a second. I want to give you something. And I was like, okay. And he futzes around with his keychain. And then he gives me a rape whistle. Yeah, just gives it to me, and I took it automatically. I was like, oh, okay. And the first thing I could think of was, is this some kind of head start? What is going to happen, right? And then as I was driving home, you can't turn down a rape whistle, right? That's tempting karma a bit too much. Can't be all, no, I don't need one of those. I do Tai Bo, right? Gotta just take it and thank them. But then I thought, what if he gave me the wrong whistle, right? And then I'm in a back alley and some creepy guy's a lady, right? And then I blow on my whistle, but no sound comes out. Then a bunch of dogs come running around the corner and they attack me too. It's the worst day ever. Okay, you guys, I gotta go. I think I've lost my mind. My husband, I'm married and old, and my husband gave me a pet name, my very first pet name I've ever had. He called me the boner killer. Yes, he did. He called me the boner killer, and then he actually, because I have this habit of blurting out things during romantic moments that just ruin it, and he actually wrote down a list that he's called Lori Elliott's 101 Ways to Turn Off Her Man. And I'll read the top three. These are the top three. It's a changing list all the time. There's always additions, but these are the top three so far. And these are all things I've said during the act that have totally ruined it. The first one was, this is my mom's bra. I don't even know how I got it. That's hot, right? Okay. Number two, I apparently was really drunk for this, but I'm sure I said it. Your penis smells like food. I was really angry, like I was accusing him of cheating on me with a tiramisu or something. If I go downstairs and there's a hole in the lasagna, it's over, right? Where has it been? And then the last one, okay, this will happen. You're all young, but this happens as you get older. Both of us at the same time during a moment of intimacy realized that I had a very alarming looking nipple hair. I know, but it happens, right? Eventually you reach an age where your armpit hair is like, it fucking stinks in here, we're moving to the mountains, right? And then they go traveling, there's valleys, fresh air, it's fun, bouncy, right? And this is what happened. I couldn't deny it. I couldn't, you know, because it went like this, and then we both went, right? And the only thing I could think of to say was, ooh, make a wish. Yes. Lucky you. That's like a bird shitting on your head. And then I tried to get the moment back by biting it out. Didn't work, though. Anyway, thank you, everybody. You've been really fun. I appreciate it.
One more time for Lori Elliott. Give her a round of applause. We're going to keep the show going. Please help me welcome to the stage Pete Zettlacher. Give him a round of applause.
Nothing. Really, nothing. There we go. How are you? I turned 40 years old last year. Thanks. Wow. What a complete inaudible fuck you that you just gave me up on stage. 40's the age where the manufacturer's warranty starts to expire. Just things stop working. Like, I can't process wheat anymore. Just out of nowhere, my body went, I don't like it. And then just stopped. So my doctor told me he can't have wheat anymore. I'm like, okay, I can deal with that. He says, no beer. I got mad. What? What do you mean? I love beer. Wait, I can't have beer? And he says, you can have wine. Because there's nothing better than like playing 60 minutes of hockey and then hitting the locker room with your buddies and then cracking open a nice cold Pinot Grigio. Okay? Oh, good hustle out there, guys. Good hustle. Yeah, good hustle. Yeah, yeah. Hey, the third line's got to pick it up a little bit there, guys. You know what I'm saying? It's really fruity. Did you want a glass? Look at the legs on it. I wish my legs were like this. Someone's having a bubble bath tonight. So now I make my own bread and listen to CBC Radio. I live the same lifestyle as a retired war bride. I listen to the radio and be like, oh, Rex Murphy, you've got it again. Oh, fuck. Yeah, that was good jokes. You should try my gluten-free bread sometime, though. It's really good. Really good. It's really healthy for you, and if, in case, like, an intruder breaks into my house, I can just beat him to death with it. Because it's that hard. It's like, yeah, you like that, ain't celiac? My wife makes good bread. We got married a couple years ago. When we were planning our wedding. She said, well, let's do something for our wedding that celebrates our backgrounds. My background is Austrian, and my wife is native Canadian, Anishinaabe, First Nations. Indian is the wrong term. Don't call my wife an Indian. Indian comes from when the first explorers came here, and they said they thought they were in India, and they went, hey, you're Indians. And they went, no, we're not. And then the explorers went, pretty sure we're here. And they said, look around. Does it look like India? And they're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. You guys are. So in that one little social faux pas, they insulted two nations. So now people from India, we have to call them East Indians, and then the people from First Nations are Indian. It's stupid. It only stuck for 600 years. It's what I'm saying. It's just, we should fucking probably get over that. So my wife is native. I'm Austrian. I said, so that's a weird wedding, honey. That's going to be like headdresses and lederhosen. That's a weird wedding, right? And she said, no, let's do something that celebrates our backgrounds, like traditions from our backgrounds, put that into the actual ceremony. So what we did is her and her native relatives showed up to the ceremony early, and then my European relatives showed up and told them to get the fuck out of there. Right? Very, very traditional. Historically accurate. We gave them a little reserved area in the back. Don't get all upset. My wife wrote that joke. Took her to Mexico for Christmas, which is awesome. I don't know if you've been to like an all-inclusive resort. You ever do one of these all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink? It's an alcohol holocaust is what it is. It's an open-bar wedding at the Mandarin Buffet for 7 full days. Doesn't matter where you go. Somebody's offering you booze, you know? Tequila, señor! It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Had a Corona Light while I was down there. A Corona Light. Did you know that Corona makes a light version of their beer? Did you know that? Has anybody ever drank a Corona and went, "Wow, it's strong"? What is this? Like German beer? What is this? Take it easy, Corona. It's like malt liquor. Corona Light. It tastes exactly like you would think. It's just nothing. It's just... Like if you were an alcoholic in rehab, they would serve Corona Light to you. It's okay. Just take a breather, buddy. So when you turn 40, you get a different physical, guys. You should know this. My doctor said we're gonna check your prostate this year. And I said, oh, okay. So what do we do? He said, drop your pants, hop up there on the table, and tuck your knees up to your chest. What is this weird frat initiation that we're going into? You know what they do? This is what he does. This is basically the move that he puts inside you. Is basically what this is with a glove. I assume. I didn't look. I assume it was a glove. But is this the best medical technology we've come up with in 2013? Really? This is I'm sure somebody invented something to check the prostate, and they're like, oh, we don't need that. We got this. This is fine. What are you doing? Waste your time with that. Like, there should be an iPhone app at this point. You just click it, and be like, oh, it's good. It's fine. I'm fine. My prostate's fine. So I was really uncomfortable. He could tell that I was uncomfortable, right? I'm tucked up there on the bed. And to make me feel comfortable, he put his hand on my shoulder, which made it worse. You know what I mean? Just like, no, bad. You're a bad man. Let me out of this van. I wasn't in a van. But I told him I'm trying to get my wife pregnant. You know, we got married a couple years ago. I want to have kids, right? So I said, I want to get a check. I want to make sure my swimmers are working, right? He said, oh, we don't do that here. We got to send you to East General. I said, oh, okay. So he gives me a little handwritten note for a semen analysis, right? That's all I'm given. Just go to East General with this note that says semen analysis. I don't know if you've been to a hospital lately, but you walk in there in the lobby, the first thing you stop at is the information booth, right? And the information booth is staffed by retired ladies. Just elderly, retired ladies. Just like, hi, I'm here for this. And they're like, what is this? It's written on the bottom. Did you bring a sample with you? Like, kind of. So then they send me upstairs to the lab. And the guy at the lab says, we don't do that here. You got to go to a private clinic. And he gives me the number. So I go home. I call this private clinic. And the guy says, yeah, just bring in the sample. And here's the address. I hand the phone. Okay, great. And I realized, well, I don't have a cup. I don't have a cup to do this at home and bring it in. I'm just going to go there. I'm going to do the sample there, right? So I get to the clinic, and there's a security guard at the clinic. And I said to him, oh, I'm here for this. He said, where's your sample? I said, oh, I was going to do it here. He said, oh, you can't. You can't do that here, sir. You can't. There's a rule. You can't. We passed a rule. You can't do that here. They had to pass a rule because apparently, if there was no rule, there'd just be a lineup around the block of guys. Ooh, I'm next. I'm getting excited. So he gives me a cup. He says, go home with the cup. Do your sample there. Bring it back. But make sure it's within the hour. Otherwise, the sample is tainted. But I live in, like, over here in Leslieville, right? This place was out in Etobicoke. It took me, like, 45 minutes to get up there. I'm like, well, I'm not fucking driving home and then doing it there and then driving back. It'd be like trying to beat the clock, just like, get out of the way. And then driving with a cup of my manhood, like my seed. I don't, you know, just imagine getting in a car accident and then and that's how they find me. So I didn't want to do that. So I jerked off in a coffee time background. I'm very proud of myself. I'm happy. It's real. It's a real story. I told that to my buddy, and he's like, oh, did you buy a coffee? Didn't even buy a coffee. Just went in there and said, give me the key. Like a hobo. I went in there like a hobo. Just did my business. Brought in the sample. Good news, my swimmers are all working. It's good news. That's a very exciting phone call I got. They check two things, guys, if you want to get your semen checked. They check two things. They check your sperm count, how many sperm you got, and then they check something called motility, which means how smart your sperm are. I didn't know that. Like, literally half of your sperm are stupid. Did you know that? Like, half of them come out, they're like, get out of the way, I gotta get to the egg, get out of my way! And then half of them come out, they're like, yay! I'm outside! Let's tie our tails together. Whee! But sometimes the stupid sperm does make it to the egg first. It's true, it happens. Sometimes the stupid egg actually fertilizes the egg and creates a human being. It's true. And that's how Stephen Harper got a majority government in this country. Thanks very much, everybody. That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Hey, it's Steph Tolov. You're listening to the Alt.com Comedy Lounge, recorded live right here in Toronto at the Rivoli.
We're going
to
keep the show going. Please have more on the stage. They're very funny. Scott Thompson. Give him a round of applause.
If ever the devil's plan was made to...
Give it up for Dave Mahan, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God. Do you like my sweater?
Yes.
Oh, it seems like
The senior, very senior boy in a Quidditch team. Guy who just, yeah, I just won't reference. Leave Hogwarts hanging around on the Quidditch field. What's that guy doing hanging around there in his old sweater? Those aren't even our colors anymore. Run, Harry! If you know what's good for you, run! Run from the pedo, Harry! I've had a very couple of good weeks. I had an excellent week last week. Not a week. My oncologist gave me a good report. Oh, yes, I'm 3 years cancer-free.
Yeah!
Thank you. It's funny that people always clap when I say that. Like, I've done something amazing. Like, oh my God, he wanted to live. I just hope that you boo when someone says they didn't make it. I felt a little guilty when I survived cancer, a little guilty, because I felt like, because I lived, somebody else had to die. Yeah, that's the way it works. And then, I recently found out the identity of the person who died in my place, and it turns out that it was Billy Mays, the OxyClean guy. So, now I don't feel so bad. In fact, I feel OxyClean. So while I'm at my doctor's office in the examining room, waiting for him to return with the results of my fabulous blood work, I did the strangest thing. I stole a pair of rubber gloves. I have no idea why. I just saw the opportunity and I went for it. You know, no one was around. Like that time I voted green. I mean, it's weird, right? You guys know there's only two uses for rubber gloves, dishes and fisting. Two chores I'm always putting off. And then I thought to myself, well, hey, maybe if the report had been bad, I might feel a little differently. I might think, hey, life is short. Might even start doing my dishes. Oh, I should be ashamed of myself. Standing up here in my Quidditch jersey, throwing down the cancer card like that so cavalierly, buying your laughs with sympathy. You deserve better. You don't, but you do. And I should know better. After all, I played the gay card for the first half of my career. Now that it's almost all played out, I'm handed the cancer card. Some comedians have all the luck. Not Roger Ebert, though, eh? That poor sap. His luck ran out. That was sad. People were really twisted up about his death. Really twisted up. Not me. I know it's petty, but he didn't like Kids in the Hall brain candy. I mean, he hated it! He went nuts! And I remember very clearly because Gene Siskel loved it. And Roger was just furious with his hatred. Practically levitating. Head was all shaking. Spittle flying everywhere. Oh, Gene! 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 I think that's when his jaw started to fall off. Oh. Cancer card! Cancer card! I can play it! My cancer was called large B-cell non-Hodgkin's gastric lymphoma, which is ironically my drag name. It was treated with chemotherapy and radiation, which did the trick, but they left a lot of terrible side effects. They're all terrible except for one. Now I don't give a fuck. I think the strangest side effect that I had from chemotherapy was it screwed up my hormones. It made my hormones all go nutty. My testosterone levels plummeted. My estrogen levels soared. I knew there was something up because I'd become obsessed with Twilight. It was crazy. I didn't know what was happening to me. I was going, oh, it's so romantic. They can't even touch each other. I mean, people, anybody that knows me knows my kind of guy is like Mike Tyson. You know, one of the Gaddafi boys, Manny Pacquiao, after he said he hated homosexuals. I knew something was really up, though, when I grew a pair of breasts. Oh, yeah. I grew a pair of little titties. Little titties like Jodie Foster in Taxi Driver. Me and little Pop Top running for pedos. Run, Harry, run! Or Nick Nolte in one of those National Enquirer worst beach bodies. I did. I grew a pair of little tits. The condition is called gynecomastia. Now, most men don't talk about it because they have something that I've read about. Boundaries. They're ashamed. I don't have that problem. So what happened was I decided that a year ago I had a double mastectomy. Yes. I had a double mastectomy at Women's College Hospital. It's sort of like a double mastectomy on a 10-year-old girl. It was wonderful. They treated me very well, but they were a little sexist. A little sexist. Let me explain. They had all these pamphlets, and all the pamphlets were very diverse culturally. They had one with a white woman on it, one with a black woman on it, one with an Indian woman on it, one with a black woman talking to an Indian woman while a Chinese woman listens at the door. But no men, even though they treat a lot of men. So I called up Women's College after my surgery, and I volunteered to be on one of their pamphlets. And they were like, sir, please, won't you be a little embarrassed? And I said, you obviously don't know who the hell I am. So what's happened is when I got the tits cut out, everything's great. My hormones are bouncing back. My doctor says that... Oh, yes, my testosterone levels are back to normal. Well, actually, not normal. Something strange happened. My body corrected itself, but it actually overcorrected itself so that now I have high testosterone. I said to my doctor, oh, what a relief. Now I know why I've been such a slut lately. Oh, people, I have been a middle-aged man whore. It has been scary. I even fucked a woman I've been so horny. I did! And I fucked her missionary style. That's how twisted I was. I was worried, you know, because it's been a long time since I've been with a woman. I thought I'd be like those vegetarians who say, you know, oh, I hadn't had a burger in years. Then I had one and I puked my guts out. Well, I managed to hold it down. But it did keep repeating. My doctor says that eventually my hormones will level out and that until that day I should make hay while the sun shines. Those were his exact words. I have the prescription. I can't really read it, but I'm sure that's what it says. So until my hormones level out, I've been having my prescription filled at this wonderful bathhouse / pharmacy that I love. It has all the medication that I'm attracted to. Balding brown men with thick accents and big feet. It's a niche market. This bathhouse is basically a closet for the third world. A lot of Jamaican men, a lot of Middle Eastern men, a lot of South Asian men. Oh, holy fuck. There's a lot of Indian men. I mean, a lot. Oh, people. People love the Rivoli. I've seen more Indian men explode than a Pakistani peacekeeper in Kashmir. Problem is, most of these Indian dudes are married to very sexually conservative wives who don't want to do all those dirty, dirty Western things, even though they invented the Kama Sutra. But these Indian wives, they're smart. They found a way around their dilemma. They're outsourcing fellatio. Hey, it's a fair trade. I'd rather answer their needs than answer their phone. But I worry. I'm concerned. I worry that I'm giving these new Canadians the wrong idea. You know, I'm worried that in my missionary zeal to reduce sexual tensions on the subcontinent, they're going to think that all white men are as friendly as me. The next thing you know, they're whipping it out at Service Ontario. You know what I love about the internet? I love the internet because the thing it's taught us is that every one of us is a freak, right? Everyone's a freak. And if you're not a freak, that's the freakiest thing of all. And I don't want what you're smoking. I recently discovered that I'm into centaurs. Oh, centaurs. Yeah, that was a shocker. It happened during a screening of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Yeah, it was what happened. I saw this dude, a really handsome guy on a horse with long hair and a heavy brow, and I'm going, whoa, Nelly. And then they cut wide, and you realize that he is part horse. But by then, it's too late. You know what I mean? In for a penny, in for a pound. Here's a bit of advice. A kid's movie is not the best place to masturbate. I know what you're thinking. You're going, oh, come on. Sex with a centaur, isn't that bestiality? No. Not if the junk is in the front. So there's no danger of being trampled. The only reason you should ever need a milking stool is for anal. The best thing about sex with a centaur, besides the fact that they're always, you could ride them bareback, is that you don't have to ask them for permission, because they don't really exist. I mean, I'm not saying you should rape a centaur, but you can. The cops would be like, get the hell out of here, buddy, you're not even here. Take your goddamn talking rabbit friend with you. But it's not all a bed of roses. They're not perfect, these centaurs. For one thing, they have terrible feet. And even worse, shoes. But the best thing about centaurs, the absolute best thing, is that they're always uncut. Or as I like to say, organic. And with this, I really think it is worth the money. I know a lot of you are out there, oh, I don't like the uncut penis. I don't like the penis the way that God made it. It smells. It's supposed to smell. That's so you can find it in the dark. That's my time. Thank you very much.
One more time for Scott Thomas. Give him a round of applause. This is the last comedian before the first half. Please welcome the very funny Sean Cullen. Give him a round of applause. Knows all the lyrics to Part-Time Lover. They know the Part-Time Lover part. Part-Time Lover. What happened to little Stevie Wonder? What happened to him? Part-Time Lover, the lady in red. That's when it all went wrong for him. He stopped having some kind of taste. It's amazing because he is blind. His taste should be amplified. Other senses become stronger when you lose one. So if I lost all sense of touch, I could lift things with my eyes. I'm Sean. It's good to be alive in the world. It's exciting. I was watching Avengers the other day. That's a good movie, right? What's your favorite superhero? Do you have one?
Batman
is amazing for this reason. See, Superman is super in every way. He has incredible advantages. Our yellow sun gives him incredible strength, laser vision, whatever. He's got everything. Not laser vision. Like he didn't go to LASIK and get his vision corrected. Although that would be hard. If he ever started to lose his vision and he went to LASIK, they'd be like, thud, this isn't working. You're ruining all of our lasers, Superman. Why are you coming in here? Just deal with it. Wear glasses. Get some contacts. Thing is, he's super in every way. He's incredibly strong. He has every advantage. Batman really is into bats.
That's the only real thing he's got going for him. His incredible obsession with bats, and he has the wealth to really indulge it. To the nth degree. He has bat pants and bat hat, bat mustache and bat wig. He has bat feet that he wears at night. He has bat life. I don't know what that is, but he has it. He's got bat everything. Batman. Spider-Man is my favorite. Spider-Man. Because he is like, yeah, I love Spider-Man. He is so much like a spider because he has many of the qualities of a spider. He can climb sheer surfaces like a spider. He can shoot webs like a spider. He has a wry sense of humor like the spider. As we all know. Oh, the spider! Spider-Man. He can lay hundreds of eggs at a time. People don't know that. He bites the heads off his lovers. People don't know that about Spider-Man. That's the TMZ version of the Spider-Man story. Yeah, Spider-Man is amazing. But if these superheroes, if they had existed in different times, they would be totally useless. Spider-Man would be pointless. If in any other era, but the modern era. Spider-Man, in medieval times, would have been stupid, pointless. You know, it's like, oh, I can only really deal with crimes that are close to the cathedral. Because there are really no other buildings that allow me to use this web situation that I've got. So it's like, no, I can actually pull myself along faster down the road, but it's really quite pointless for me to do that. What, another robbery at the nunnery? Zow! Up there. In ancient Egypt, even worse. Because, you know, he'd go up to the Great Pyramid and be like, aha, I'll get you. And they would just lie at a 45-degree angle on the side of the pyramid, kind of rolling along and shuffling. Pointless. Pointless life for him. Totally ridiculous for him. It's true. Yeah, I love Spider-Man. I love him. He's a good person. He's a good person. He has a lot of disadvantages and some very big advantages. But you can't tell anyone about your stuff because you're a superhero. You have to keep it secret, hidden. Now, the pyramids, thinking about that, I was just thinking about that, those are beautiful, aren't they? Incredible. And I think they had some purpose, you know, astronomically or as tombs. And you've got to think that the people who built those were like, yeah, look at those. Those pyramids are amazing. Those are really incredibly aesthetically pleasing. And then some dick comes and builds the Sphinx right beside them. And they're all just like... These are geometrically perfect, all right? This is a giant lion. This is stupid. This is totally not what we were looking for right here. Like you just, oh, wow, look at the... No, the lion. Shut up. These are perfect. Do you understand? Oh, there's a lion? Yeah, shut up. Anyway, that's all I have for that. I'm working on that. Trying to build towards something. People love ancient humor. They love it. They love ancient humor. They love it. I, recently, here's the thing. Do you like the police?
You found, the you band don't look or like the actual got people? Goddamn,
what?
The band or the actual people?
I like every... Okay. I'm just going to say all.
Okay.
Do you like the police, the band?
Okay.
First of all.
Yeah.
You do.
Sure.
They're a seminal band. They're like one of the great bands of all time. Three guys made a lot of sound. There were only three of them. One man played the bass with his hands and then poked things with his feet and continued. Singing songs. That's amazing to me. That's a tremendous effect that he had. But the police, do you like the police? The police, here's my problem.
Sure.
Yeah, you like them? They're okay, right?
Yeah, okay.
Sure. Here in town, I wonder about the police response times. That's the thing that bugs me. If I have trouble, I want to call 911. They show up right away. That's all I want. The other day, I shoot a werewolf on my lawn. I call 911. First of all, because I've discharged a firearm. Second, there's been a supernatural attack. Both these things need to be shared immediately with someone in authority. 911, boom. Call. 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, 15, 20. This is the way I always look at my watch. Because it's like grabbing time by the hair. And I said, what is going on? Finally, they roll up 30 minutes later. Roll up. Literally, they have no car. They're just clinging to a giant plastic ball. I don't know what they're up to. They roll up. And I say, hey, here you are. Great, thanks for showing up. And they say, what's the problem? I said, well, there's a, look. And they look over, and there's a naked man lying on my lawn. They say, what is happening here? There's a dead naked man shot to death on your lawn. I said, well, you've been here 30 minutes ago. He was a werewolf. Now it looks like I'm having a homoerotic gunfight on my lawn. Not great for me. Bad news. Bad news. The superheroes, love them. Still on that. Still on that. I'm back to that. You know what? Did you see the Batman Rises?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know what part of the suit makes Christian Bale's voice change. That's the only part that frightens me about Batman. It's like, hi, I'm Christian Bale. Yeah, no. That scares me. But the voice, the voices are amazing. The weirdest one is Bane. Bane with his voice. It seems out of place for the giant roided out freak. That's all I'm saying. It's like, oh. Bruce Wayne. Look at you. I wonder what will break first. Your spirit or your body? It doesn't seem right to me. For a man who's pulverizing someone. To be that casual about that. Ah, Bruce Wayne. Are you wearing Armani? That's a delicious scent, Bruce. It smells amazing. Good work, Bruce Wayne. Strange man. And I think, you know, I just try and imagine him in every jobs, not just the crazy, vicious man. Ah! Do you want fries with that? Do you want to make it a combo? With onion rings? That's not going to be good for him. They're like, are you shitting me? Are you making fun? No! Would you like a Happy Meal? For your friends? Bruce? My name isn't Bruce. I know! It's a strange voice for a man. What does it have? Ah! I'll be your babysitter tonight, kids. We'll have all the lights turned off. What, darkness? I was born in it. I raised in it. I didn't see the light of day until I was 78 years old. Who wants to play trouble? Anyone? all I've got to say. Thank you for having me tonight.
You're good people.
One more time for Sean. Give a round of applause.
The Alt.com Comedy Lounge happens every Monday night at 9 p.m. at the Rivoli in downtown Toronto. For information on upcoming shows, visit alt.comedylounge.com or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. For previous shows, check out podalmighty.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Catch you next time.